Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 352 for May 23rd, 2018. Hamvention Wrap-Up. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX, here tonight, along with a cast of regulars. Bob Heil is not with us tonight. He is, well, he's still out on the road, but he should be back soon, and we'll have a full report from him. Right now, though, let's see who's here. I believe Gordo finally made it back. Hi, Gordo.
Well, hi there. And yes, although I was not delayed a full day as you were, I did make it back in a day. And let me tell you, we've got some great shots coming of all that happened to all of us at Dayton Xenia Hamvention. Back to you, George.
Yeah, I was delayed a day. I got to spend an extra night in Dayton, and I won't go into any details, but let's just say the weather in this part of the country this time of year, you never know what to expect. Don, you did not make it this year, but you had a lot of people standing in there for you who were not you.
Yeah, we'll have some pictures of that coming up in a little bit. Pretty funny. Yeah, no, I was not there in person, but I was there in spirit and in effigy. Yeah, there you go. And they were doing that too, which was pretty good. I find it odd that you would refer to me as regular. I'm rarely ever referred to as regular. Most of the time, I'm irregular, but that's a whole nother story for another time. And so, bless you, my son. Carry on.
I knew that's where you were going, Don. It's just, you know, I guess we've been around you enough that we can expect some kind of shenanigans most every episode. And we've got Amanda with us tonight as well. Amanda, sorry you couldn't make it, but you say one day, huh?
One day I will make it to one of these big ones. I'm not going to say exactly Dayton, but hello, everyone from Colorado, and enjoying the beautiful weather here. Stay tuned. I'm going to show you some of your own photos that you uploaded to Facebook today. I really appreciate that. Looks like everyone had a fantastic time, and it's kind of fun to see everybody else's perspective, minus just the show host. So thanks for sending those our way. You'll see them later.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda. We'll be looking forward to those later in the show. But right now, I guess we better go to Gordo, because I know he's bound to have some special short shots for us tonight.
And we do. And just before we start the short shots, as we know, Jim's engraving. Jim, military veteran, is taking some time off. And people have been saying, where can I get the engraved glass engraved plaques that are illuminated by LEDs? Well, we've got two sources for you, and you may need to replay this for getting the exact address, but it's the numbers, figures, 405laserworks@gmail.com, and also Gifts for Hams. They, too, are now doing the laser engraving. So you want to sign like many of your hosts have, I would sure like to turn you on to those folks, and our best to Jim of Jim's Engraving that developed that whole idea. Well, you know, ideas are very important. And you all know about magnets, right? You all know about handhelds. And the older handhelds would stick to a magnet, right? Yeah, it'd stick to a magnet. And, ICOM handheld. The newer handhelds are lightweight. This is the ID51 from ICOM. And boy, was ICOM busy at the show. Wahoo, Ray had like little wings on his feet. But these are not magnetic. However, the antenna systems for them are magnetic. So it's good to understand that magnets will attract sometimes these handhelds. And in just a few moments, you'll see the importance of that. So, Victor, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and jump over to Xenia, Ohio, where in the early 2000s, they had a F4, maybe it was an F5 tornado that literally wiped everything out. But the Greene County Fairgrounds is back, and it is back strong. Well, we were ready. And when I say we meet the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. 700 volunteers dedicated themselves for Dayton to pull off Hamvention 18. They had like 34 committees, and those committees said, we got to eat. So they had 25 food vendors well up over last year. They got to have forums, no problem, 60 forums in 5 different forum facilities on premise. The examination group, they were fabulous. They were just right across the street. They had transportation to get there. 200 were passing through the exam portals, and I'm very happy to say the majority either passed as new hams or upgraded, and they got some very nice certificates as well. They had 15 big group dinners throughout the area. DX Engineering, of course, had their one-day contest university to an absolute sold-out crowd. 250 exhibitors up over last year, covering 6 different buildings and tents, the well-designed tents. ARRL had 20 individual members there. Actually, they had a lot more than 20 members, but they had 20 little stalls where each of the members were talking about what they do at headquarters. 50 grand prizes. Valerie, of course, was the Queen Amateur of the Year. So, and 6 DARA, Dayton Amateur Radio Association scholarships were handed out. That's just a little bit about what goes on behind Hamvention at the Greene County Fairgrounds. Now, notice that grass? Is that going to be able to withstand the rain? Because here's the swap meet area, and as you can see, the swap meet area is major, but a lot of grass. Well, good news, they were doing some road construction up the way that had no impact on the incoming hamfesters. And Mike Calder, W8 Charlie India, Ron Kramer, KD8 ENJ, the biggies of the hamvention said, we can make this work. We can take up their ground up asphalt and put it into lines here in what was originally just a big green center of the horse racetrack. And that'll give folks a good opportunity to see all the outside exhibits. Well, look at this. Here is Michael Calder himself manning a John Deere tractor and towing probably a several thousand pound jug of water behind there to pack down that asphalt that was given to them by the road department. And let me tell you, although we had almost no rain, it was nice and firm, and you didn't walk away with your swapped items and shoes full of mud. No, it turned out just great. So I don't know how you guys did it, but good work in providing a path for those wanting to see the stuff, and the vendors were on each side. And yes, that was a great time. Well, we started on Wednesday, and Bob Heil brought in all the gear, and Tim Duffy with DX Engineering, the main man, and Tim also is with Radio Club of America as their leader, along with Carol Perry. They had everything all set up at the Crown Plaza Hotel, and all of the audio gear was rolling, and everybody said, whoa, what is this? It's a geochron on steroids but not your normal Geochron that DX Engineering is now selling, but they had a very special add-on device. While you can't see it real close here, some of the Geochron items that showed up on the screen were call districts, call sign prefixes, CQ zones, lights at night of the cities. Even the space shuttle was seen meandering across the screen. So for you Concesters, if you have a hard time looking at the small Geochron, this is like the big daddy version, and they've now got it at DX Engineering, and it was all developed around a proprietary set of software that goes into this Geochron doodad that hooks up to your big screen, whatever. So that was a real attention getter for our last Wednesday night's get-together here on Ham Nation. Well, Thursday, the swappers came in nice and early, and of course, the show doesn't really open till Friday. That's the time to see stuff has come on Thursday. And as you can see, the weather was not too bad, and the ground was nice and hard, so you didn't end up with mud. And there were some very interesting displays. I like that easy chair on the left and the tube checker in the back. Easy chair with a lot of glass tubes in it. So there was a lot of humor. And that was the best part about this hamvention was we're getting back to the old shenanigan days. Here's a fella cranking and cranking and cranking on his little self-powered generator. And we followed the wires over to what he was cranking. There's another person also cranking and cranking. And it goes to a military surplus radio on 75 meters. And everybody's sort of going, yeah, yeah, right. And they made a contact. So human power getting ready for the big field day coming up June 22, 23, 24. They are ready with human power cranking up their radios. And a little levity. Here's a fella that took a wagon and added a BioNO battery, one of their big 100 amp hour batteries. And he was tooling around for 2 days on the same battery. No, that's not the BioNO under his butt. BioNO sort of hidden away in the back, and it kept him going and going and going. It looked strange, but he, too, did not get anything on his shoes. And a little humor, Mr. Nixon, good to see you, sir. But, yeah, it was a fun get-together on Thursday before the show opened up on Friday. Well, Thursday afternoon, folks were beginning to open up the back of their vehicles and take some of the equipment under the tents and put it in the back of the vehicles. And then same thing on that Friday. Oh, my gosh, on Friday morning. But, you know, we never got slammed. We had a few sprinkles, one time a very brief, and I won't even call it a downpour. It was like a Southern California rain, that is, next to nothing. Well, the clouds were impressive. We only heard one clap of thunder, and at no time did we hear over the PA, take shelter. It never happened. Those on the perimeter brought along their own hay, so to keep any mud out of the shoes. And while there was a lot of tents, the tents that Dara had put up were well designed, dry as a bone on the inside, and they did great for the hundreds of extra exhibitors. So even though we saw clouds on the periphery, they never really moved in until George was trying to take off on his aircraft, and me too. But they were there, but there was no major rainstorm this year at the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. But when it did rain a little bit, the first thing that those out just looking for good swap stuff is we helped everybody. Yeah, that's the neat thing about ham radio. They jumped right in there and helped the exhibitors of the swap stuff get stuff in the back of their vehicle. They helped the exhibitors make sure that everything was well covered up. This is probably the biggest amount of rain, which was almost no rain. But nonetheless, those on the outside were well covered with hams just pitching in and helping, just hams looking to buy stuff. So that was the neat thing about the Dayton Hamvention was the very positive aspect. Everybody was friendly, and they were full of shenanigans, and they were full of great food as well. They had a total of about two dozen food vendors, much more than years past. And this is not just your normal hamburgers. This stuff was great. I mean, it was sirloin. It was lamb chops. It was rib cakes. You name it. It was good food. And oh, yeah, this one was pork chops. And if you ate too much food and you need a little bit of help, they had a well-outfitted first aid station as well as a mobile vehicle with all of the extremities or all of the amenities on there for your extremities. We didn't see any Code 3 runs, so I guess it was safe among the probably 20,000-plus ham radio operators that attended Hamvention. So that was good. And they had huge porta-potties everywhere, and the porta-potties went up, and they were standing tall. And then the next morning, just before the ham fest got started on day number two, there was a young man outside. He was probably 14 or 15, brand new ham. He had passed the test the day before, got his certificate the next morning with his call sign. He went out and got an ID 51 handheld. You know what happens on the deep drops? He dropped it. So he was absolutely in tears. It was a goner. We won't hang on this shot, but what we did was I got a magnet from, it's either Comet or, it was Comet. Yeah, I think it was the Comet folks that gave me a big magnet. And we dropped the magnet down. You don't have to go back to that shot, Victor. No, no. We dropped the magnet down, fished around, and you know what caught was the antenna. The longer than usual antenna from Comet was one that was magnetic. The magnet picked up the antenna. We hoisted up the ID 51 from the long drop. We gave it a wash because it is waterproof and submersible. And we undid the battery cover and drained out any fluids still left in the battery cover and put it back together. And the radio worked. And this young man was so happy that his new $300 or $400 handheld was not relegated to the sewer system. So something to remember, keep those magnets happy in case you drop your handheld down the long drop. Well, every so often we'd hear a boom, ba ba bum ba ba ba, boom, ba 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 ba. And this was a John Deere one banger machine that was driving a series of gears and belts and so on. And it was attached to an ice cream maker. And there's one of our Dayton hams giving it a try. And let me tell you, that was the smoothest ice cream around. What a great idea to get attention. Again, always thinking, these vendors that were there, many of them were actually hams as well as vendors with the ice cream here. And great way to homebrew ice cream. You couldn't get it much fresher than that. On more of the tents, the main tents were in an area that had a asphalt floor. They had additional tents for all of the exhibitors on the outside that needed tent space. And even though it was slightly damp, as you can see, it was not a mud bath. So that was the very good news. They had hams from all over the world. And while it probably doesn't represent each and every one, they were able to put a little mark as to where they came from. And as you can see, the Dayton Hamvention drew hams from literally around the world. Well, it was like around the world on our morning that Bob kicked off the Ham Nation big get-together, and we had many great suggestions from many of you. And one of the ones we're working on real hard, as what Amanda talked about, is we're looking to get more videos, more still shots, more from those of you out here in Radioland making things happen. So we're going to try and decrease the amount of talking heads and increase the video aspect of Ham Nation each week. So be thinking about coming up with some short videos about 5 minutes long, not of interview, not of talking heads, but live stuff on ham radio. And that was our big talk that morning. ICOM was real busy even on Wednesday morning, long before the show set up, with just absolutely an exquisite location and a great visit. And as soon as the doors open, bango, they were mobbed, as were all of the different exhibitors here at the show. And we're showing those manufacturers, ICOM America and DX Engineering, as they are our proud sponsors here of Ham Nation. Want a small tower? Yep, no problem at all. Put that on the top of your vehicle and bring it home. Oh, yeah. Every Dayton, we always see this major tower. And it was sold within the first couple of hours, had a sold sign on it. Loop antennas are getting bigger. Remember, you could only run a couple of watts through them. This little baby will take about 100 watts. And look at the size of that fixed capacitor. And they do have a way of actually going to an adjustable tuning network. So about five different manufacturers of loops, and they were all on display, tuned in and turned on so you could see the very high Q, the Q factor of the loops. Now that's Don, KE6BXT. He was representing amateur television, the new digital DBBT and DBBS, talking about the new type of digital amateur TV. And Don is also quite an expert on the mesh network. And here's the Arden Amateur Radio Emergency Digital Network, and talk about being able to impress your served agency by the volume of traffic you're able to pass between, let's say, two different evacuation centers on a line-of-sight basis. It was a great demonstration, and people were stopped to watch it. Outside, they had a demonstration of emergency vehicles that the hams as volunteers would set up. Many of the news vans that had the big towers that were pneumatic, those were favorite of the ham volunteer emergency comps. And I understand the amateur television network out here in Southern California now has a new news van turned into a big amateur television station. But the real showstopper was the ICOM MCOM van, and this represents all of the different types of transceivers that ICOM America makes. And there was a long line to see all of the gear, and everything there is operational in the ICOM MCOM 1 van. Now, here's Andrea, K2 Echo Zulu. You've got to look at her QRZ webpage to appreciate all of the fun and all of the, well, the looks that she gets as she's driving down the road with all the VHF and UHF weak signal gear. What a delight. Here's a lady that really gets into giving out grid squares, and she had her vehicle there. So go to K2EZU, look it up on QRZ.com after the show, and look at all that Andrea has in her vehicle. And let me tell you, this is not just show. This is show and give out contact points. And she's made many a ham very happy. A lot of folks were in the Ham Nation tags, and we certainly appreciate that. And here's a fella pushing a little baby carriage, and the ladies would walk over going, oh, what a pretty. And all of a sudden, this leopard would like jump out of the cage, and they go, whoa, that's not a kid, that's a cat. And it would surprise people. Well, he finally took it out of the cage, and that's Fred. Fred runs Universal Radio in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and Fred has like 30 cats that mine the store. So if you're allergic to cats, we're in trouble. But what a gorgeous Bengal cat that was. And it was fun to watch the people very surprised when all of a sudden out of the baby carriage, not a kid comes out, but a cat. Yeah, that was classic. And of course, shenanigans. This lady is a professional tower climber. And so she's not just showing off all that hardware up to the top of her head. But she's a real pro and was just fun to talk to, and maybe sending us a video or two in the near future from what it's like to be up 60 to 100 feet. Probably not as high as Valerie's tower, but there you go. But finally, giving autographs very slowly was Don. And Don, you were sorely missed, but actually you were there in spirit. So, Don, I'd like to turn this back over to you, and you can explain to yourself all the fun that you had via robotics at the Dayton make that Xenia, Ohio Hamvention. Don, over to you and DX Engineering.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Before we get into DX Engineering, we got some pictures of some of those Newsline shenanigans with the I'm Not Wilbanks buttons that you've been seeing on Ham Nation for the last couple of weeks. Go ahead and run through those real quick, Vic. Just scoot through them. I'm not going to narrate them. Just run through those pictures, if you would, before we get into DX Engineering, and you'll see. That was on Facebook, so people were doing that with the I'm Not Don. There I am there. Just flip through them pretty quick, and we'll get through these. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, there's pictures all over, and we have Flat Don on the stick. I don't know what the hell UDI is doing, but it was frightening. Yeah, there's Neil Rapp, and it's
unknown.
That's one. I'm much taller than this. I'm telling you right now, I'm much taller than this. Keep going. That's my favorite. I really like that one right there. Very much appreciate it. That was the lady at the check-in at the hotel. And you can see I was pleased. Keep going. And so I'm telling you, look, I'm taller than George. I don't know what Christian Kudnick, K0STH, is doing, but we probably shouldn't linger there. There's another fun one. I like that. And so this is just some of the things that people were doing. Basically taking my name in vain. And there's Marty Soloway, KC1CWF, the current Young Ham of the Year, which, by the way, there's only about a week left, I think, of the Young Ham of the Year nominations. We'll get into that a little bit later on too, but that was just some of the fun things that was going on. I got this in the mail the other day, the new DX Engineering catalog. It's Field Day Fever, and if you don't have it, you really should think about getting Field Day Fever, because really it's nothing to be afraid of. And the hams at DX Engineering hope that you had a chance to stop by and visit them at Xenia, but if you didn't, there are some offerings you might want to add to your shack amongst the new gear with the acquisition of Clifton Laboratories a couple of years ago. DX Engineering now offers updated versions of widely used devices created by Jack Smith, K8ZOA, who is a silent key, including Clifton's Buffer Amplifier Kit. This lets you add a spectrum waterfall display to an older receiver or transceiver. The high-input, low-output buffer amp taps the signal from inside your radio, feeds it to your SDR receiver with a pan adapter display. Two kits are available, a universal model covering 50 kilohertz to 100 megahertz, and a K2 version tuned to the 4.915 megahertz IF signal of the Elecraft K2. And a lot of you have relied on DX Engineering's advanced designed thrust bearings, the TB300 for 2-inch masts. Now you can enjoy the same advantage for 3-inch masts with the DX Engineering TB400 thrust bearing. The ball bearings ride on an all-metal surface, not a seam like other thrust bearings, which gives you a longer service life. They can handle much greater static loads than other models, reducing stress on the rotator and making rotator service possible without removing the antenna. DX Engineering is known for innovation. Nowhere is this more evident than with the new RX Share. It's a dual transceiver audio switch for contesters. This lets two contesters operate, or contest operators, it allows them to monitor audio from two transceivers in a typical run-and-gun setup. Either operator can monitor audio from his or her station only, listen to one station in the left ear and the other station in the right ear, or listen to the other station only. Individual switching between these three modes is fast and simple. And another reason for hams to rejoice, I showed it to you, the spring-summer 2018 DX Engineering catalog is now here. 132 full-color pages of gear, many brands and products appearing for the first time. All of it is drool-worthy. OptiBeam antennas, Elecraft accessories and test equipment, Universal Towers, Homomaston Mini XL hand crank towers, HA8 DU antenna tuners, and a lot more. You can get your free copy at dxengineering.com. Click on sign up for your free catalog on the homepage. Enter your info. They'll get it to you right away via the mail. And happy shopping. And it's a nice, there's some good stuff in here, as always. Always new stuff in every new issue of the DX Engineering catalog. And DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7. at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you so much for being a part of what we do here. Now let's go ahead and get into the news of the week, shall we, from Amateur Radio Newsline. I'm going to look at this while you look at that. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2116, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. As news and amazing video continues to pour in from the volcanic eruptions in Hawaii, hams remain on standby, should they be needed.
The eyes of the world have been on the continuing eruptions of scalding lava from Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, but formal assistance from the amateur radio community has not yet been needed. At Newsline's production time, all normal communications remained functional, and hams were simply monitoring the situation. However, two nets have been operating informally on the island, one on 40 meters and another on a 2-meter repeater run by voluntary organizations active in disaster. As evacuations continue and national parks and other locations remain shut, Amateur Radio Newsline will continue to follow developments.
The 2018 Dayton Hamvention is now just a memory. Ham Nation and Newsline staff were in the thick of things, so be watching and listening for future reports. In the meantime, it's WRTC time, and you can compete for awards just like the actual competitors in Germany.
The list of available WRTC awards for non-contestants is getting longer. Five more will be added to the two existing WWQR and VOTA award programs for WRTC 2018. Those who contact all WRTC stations can download the Worked All WRTC Stations certificate from the internet as soon as the competition completes. A log does not have to be sent in. The WRTC Sprint Award is all about speed. Those who contact all 63 WRTC stations, regardless of operating mode or band, within a short period of time will be honoured with a certificate. Stations that contact the WRTC stations on all bands and modes should apply for the WRTC Most QSOs MQ award to add to their collection. The maximum number of contacts for all WRTC stations on CW and SSB across all five amateur contest bands is 630. The WRTC 2018 Distance Challenge relates to contacts over as many kilometres as possible and making up to the maximum possible 630 contacts. This special prize is attractive to those who can show the most kilometres worked from the logbook. As in many sports, the WRTC referees rely on assistance. The most important assistance comes from the logbooks of amateurs who contact the WRTC teams and are received by 1800 UTC on Sunday, July 15th. Amateurs submitting these check logs go into a draw for the Assistant Judge Prize. All details of the awards will be published at www.wrtc2018.de. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
With just over a week left, it's time to finish up your nominations for this year's Young Ham of the Year Award. Why? Let's have last year's winner explain.
Hi there, my name is Marty Sulloway, KC1CWF. I was so deeply honored to be selected as the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. This year has been such a deep, deep blessing. The experiences of being able to travel to the Huntsville Ham Fest, being on stage to receive that award, all the recognition has been fantastic. And I cannot be so grateful for everybody who's helped me on this journey, all of my Elmers and mentors. It's such an immense honor to be able to receive this award. And as you may know, the nomination period for the WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award for 2018 is still open. I know it's been such a deep pleasure for me, and this hobby has been such a deep honor to take part of. Everybody has been so warm and kind and helpful and generous. I'm Marty Sulloway, KC1CWF, and remember, the deadline is approaching, arnewsline.org.
The deadline is midnight Eastern time on May 31st. We invite you to join us for the Young Ham of the Year presentation at the Huntsville Ham Fest in August. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online, on a repeater near you, or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Ed Durant, DD5LP, Marty Sulloway, KC1CWF, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
There's a new active region that's rotating into Earth view, and it is brightening up the sun. Will there be solar flares in your future? Those stories and more in the news this week. Activity on the sun has really picked up this week. All eyes are on a new region that's rotating into Earth view off of the sun's east limb. And this region has put on some beautiful displays, even firing some solar flares before we saw it rotate into Earth view. And it's been gorgeous watching it on the limb. It's also boosted the solar flux quite a bit. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you should be enjoying some decent radio propagation on the bands right now, especially for a solar minimum sun. And along with a couple other active regions that we have, you're probably going to be enjoying some decent propagation for the next 2 weeks. Meanwhile, we have a remnant coronal hole that's rotated into the Earth strike zone. That has boosted us up to unsettled conditions, which is great news for you GPS users, especially at low latitudes. It's kind of stabilizing the upper atmosphere a bit for you and helping to keep some of the turbulence and stuff down so you get some good reception. Anyway, we're actually going to be watching these regions rotate into Earth view. We've seen a couple mini solar storms being launched. Don't know if they're going to hit Earth, but we're sure going to stay on our toes. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see we've been extremely low when it comes to the X-ray flux and there by proxy the solar flux. And that's what it means to have essentially a spotless sun for an extended period of time. But all that has changed starting the 22nd. You can see here this is when that new active region started rotating into Earth view off the sun's east limb, and it started popping flares that we could see even when it was still kind of behind the limb. It's now popped a C-class flare, and it's still not totally into view yet. And you can see that X-ray flux floor has risen. The solar flux has risen right along with it. That's why you amateur radio operators and emergency responders are now enjoying some better propagation on the bands than you've seen in quite some time. So we're going to hope this trend continues, and we're going to watch this thing as it continues rotating into view to see whether it might actually grow in to become an M-flare player. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see we've actually been pretty quiet over the past couple weeks, and this has pretty much been the story. We're getting hit by some fast solar wind that's really not that fast, and so it'll bump us up to unsettled conditions and then bump us back down. We never really make it to active conditions or even storm levels, which would bring aurora down to mid-latitudes. So it's been a little frustrating for you aurora photographers, I know, and it will continue like this over the next 7 to 10 days. Until we actually get hit by some fast wind from a much bigger coronal hole that brought us a moderate level solar storm the last time it came around. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that you're going to get a good aurora show. Meanwhile, you GPS operators are actually loving this, especially at low latitudes, because this kind of unsettled activity actually helps make GPS reception better. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And that bright region you see in the center of the sun's disk, that is the new active region that's just rotating into Earth view now. And if you watch it closely, you can see it was actually firing solar flares on the sun's backside before it even came into Earth view. So we are very excited about this region and can't wait till it rotates more into our view so we can get a better look to see whether or not it might actually become an M-flare player and maybe even cause a radio blackout or two. We'll have to see. Meanwhile, you can also see just below that region is that dark coronal hole. This is the coronal hole that gave us a moderate level storm about 2 weeks ago. And it's positioned itself now so that in about another 12 days, it has a chance to do exactly the same thing. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are in the middle of that fast wind from that remnant coronal hole that's rotated into the Earth strike zone. So that fast wind really isn't all that fast. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with about a 30% chance of a minor storm and even a slight chance for a major storm. At mid-latitudes, we are also expecting unsettled conditions, but only with about a 10 to 15% chance of a minor storm. And these conditions should last for the next couple days before things quiet down a little bit, but it probably won't get much below unsettled conditions. We're kind of expecting that through the end of the week. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, oh my goodness, we have solar flux levels back in marginal for radio propagation. You amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you probably don't even care that you're getting a little extra noise on the bands from all the solar flaring. You're so happy to just have decent propagation on Earth's day side. Now, the good news is these conditions will likely continue over the next 2 weeks as that region rotates all the way across the sun before things kind of fall back down into poor conditions for you guys. Now, this new region, we don't know its magnetic configuration well enough yet to know whether or not it's going to grow up to become an M-flare player. And guaranteed, we are going to be watching it very closely because it just has a chance. So the space weather this week is really picking up. We have three bright regions on the Earth-facing sun right now, one of which is actively flaring. Now, this region hasn't become an M-flare player yet, but we are watching it very closely, because if it does, it could mean radio blackouts. But meanwhile, you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you should be enjoying some boosted propagation on the Earth's day side while this region is in view. Now, you GPS operators, you're also enjoying some decent reception due to the unsettled conditions from all of this kind of pockets of fast wind that's not really bringing us up to storm levels. So you should be able to enjoy that, especially at low latitudes, as long as you stay away from the dawn dust terminators. That's where things may get just a little bit dicey for you. Now, your aurora photographers, well, as far as you're concerned, you're going to have to deal with these unsettled conditions easily over the next 10 to 12 days. But if you can hang out that long, we might just be able to bring you another solar storm. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Always nice to have her on the program. Gordon, I think you've got some more stuff for us, sir. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, John. And I have to say, Dr. T is ready. I said, Dr. T, do you need the newer technician class book that kicks in end of June? And she goes, no, I'm set with your current book. So although the technician class test is changing on July 1st, actually the day before, Tamitha is ready and she's going to do fine on her test. She's got it knocked down cold. She's just been so busy, she's not had a chance to take the time to do the test. And Karen and Rod of RT Systems, catch this, Don. They said, yes, we've got Mac software for several Woo-hoo! Radios, and we're getting more. So for those of you with a Mac, I'm happy to report that Karen and Rod of RT Systems have now got more Mac software and cables and so on coming. It was fun to see all of the major manufacturers who were supported by their home company in Japan, with many of those Japanese personnel on scene to add extra emphasis to new products. And some of these folks were not just Japanese engineers. Some of them were engineers that actually developed some of these products. So let's take a look and see what George and Tommy have on a brief interview of Mr. Torrey, who those of you that have, as I do, the Kenwood TS-990 or a 590, or many of those great Kenwood products. Let's see what this design engineer has brought to Hamvention 18. Gordo here for Ham Nation, and look at this, the new Kenwood TS-890, and here is the chief engineer. Welcome to Dayton, and wow, what a terrific radio.
Thank you very much.
Oh, this is just terrific. How much power output?
The power output is 100 watt. 990 is 200, but this radio is 100 watt.
And the power supply is 12 volts, and we love that.
Yes, this number shows this is the 800. You know 870, you know? It's 100 external power supply, same as.
Very good. So it tunes in the 6 meter band as well, all the way down to 160.
Yes, from 160 to 6 meter, but the European version has 70 megahertz.
Ah.
But cannot use here because you don't permit 70 megahertz.
On the rear, I see two antenna jacks for antenna A and B. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
And I also see a BNC. Is that for a transverter?
No. This BNC connector is just behind the rear panel. It's input for the oscillator, 10 megahertz oscillator input. Okay?
That is terrific. And software-defined capabilities?
Everybody asks me, is this software kind SDR? But this radio, basically, not software-defined radio. Please look at this number. To achieve this number, I must use a down conversion to achieve the good characteristic.
Wow, looks exciting. And, of course, there's a very popular waterfall. And how large is that display?
Display size is 7-inch, same as a TS-990.
Wow, well, I have the TS-990 that you have blessed, and we so much appreciate all the hard work. It must be a job to put something like this together. Are you regularly on the air also in Japan?
But sometimes not so active. But I use not actual radio, but KNS, Kennel Network Command System. So I operate my radio in the office from my home, just from the internet.
That is terrific. And tell us a little bit about the receiver. One band at a time, correct?
Yes, this receiver is a single band, same as a TS-870. If you need a dual receive, I recommend 990.
And I would recommend the 990 as well. But wow, this one is much lighter because, of course, no power supply built in.
Yes, yes. The weight is 15 kg. Of course, much lighter than a 990. They have internal power supply.
Oh, yes, I know when I pick up a 990. And tell us about the cooling. Do you have one fan that cools the finals?
We use two cooling fans. But this radio, this size, and whole part is the Army chassis. So a very big chassis. So fan is hard to move.
Well, it sounds like here's a great radio for the maximum field day results. How much current does it draw on transmit? 18, 20 amps?
The spec is a maximum 20.5, same as the other 100-watt radios, same as.
Terrific. And anything you want to add, want to talk about that this brand new Kenwood 890 does for the ham radio operators here at Dayton?
I want to say my 90s, 990, 890, 590, I call it the TSX90 series.
Ah.
I dedicated to the Lero DXs. All down conversion, very high performance. That's all.
Wow. Well, we can't wait to hear it on the air. And, of course, the big question is, will we have this maybe at the end of the year, or is it still maybe 2 years out?
Oh, Mr. Gordon, please look at here, coming this summer.
Oh, wow.
And you have much more information beginning of the August. Not only this information.
Well, pretty exciting here at the Kenwood booth at the Dayton 2018 Hamvention, and I can't wait to start playing radio. And wow, what a job you have. What a fun job to be able to design and see this radio finally get on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice talking.
And would you tell us all of the other radios that you remember, the high-frequency radios that you have designed? You've done
many. I can't remember the word. Many radio. Because I worked in Kenwood 1980.
Oh, boy, isn't that something. Well, you heard it live from the engineer that thought it up and made it. Thanks to ham operators. So much appreciate all your hard work. And if you would, give your name and call sign so when we hear you on the air.
My name is Toshio Tori, came from Yokohama, and my call sign is Japan America 6 Queen X-Ray Whiskey Portable 1. Thank you very much.
And 73 to our Ham Nation viewers.
Wow, that was fun interviewing Mr. Torrey, and he's been with Kenwood since 1980. Wow, a lot of different radios. So now I'm going to turn it back to one of our other hosts. It's either going to be George or Don. So, Victor, you get to choose which one. Don.
All right. Well, let's see. What do we have going on now? I got out of order. I got all excited and got out of order. I think right now what we're going to do is we're going to go look at a piece of video from Dan Van Evenhoven, and then we're going to get into a little word from ICOM, and George will pick it up. So let's go ahead and take a look at the piece of video from Dan Van Evenhoven.
Welcome to Dayton Hamvention 2018. This is the second year for Dayton Hamvention to be at the Greene County Fairgrounds, and things have improved from last year. While it was a little rainy, and we kind of expect that for Dayton Hamvention, the crowd seemed a lot larger than last year, and the grounds overall were much improved. So let's take a look and see what Dayton Hamvention has to offer. One of the first places I stopped at was the Special Event Station. Right behind them was ICOM, with a huge display, and showing off the IC-7610. And right outside was the MCOM-1 van. Yaesu was also there, showing off their DX-5000 MP, a very impressive HF radio. Kenwood was also there, showing off their brand new TS-890, due to be released in September. Telecraft had a great display showing off their K-line. And Flex Radio was showing off the Flex 6700. And Elenco was showing off their wide variety of mobile radios. MFJ had a huge display, showing everything from their amplifiers, antennas, and gidgets and gadgets. Heil Sound was there as well. Bob Heil showing off everything from headsets to booms to microphones, not to mention his brand new parametric receive system. Right next to Bob's booth was the Ham Nation booth as well as the Newsline booth. Step IR had a very nice display, as well as Vibraflex and Begali. If you needed a code key, this was the place to be. Radio Waves had a nice display as well. They even had men in kilts. M Squared showed off all their new antennas, as well as Comet and Diamond. And those in the Sirius HF, Tar Heel Antennas was there, as well as Woofer Recoils. NRT Systems was there with their easy-to-use software to program your radio. And some for a little radio enhancement, Westmont Radio. And everybody nowadays needs some coax, so the Wireman for that. The National Weather Service stopped in as well. Aero Antenna had a very good display. Needless to say, the ham radio retailers had huge displays, like DX Engineering, showing everything from their HF radios, VHF radios, antennas, to the custom hardware that they build right there in their shop. Not to be outdone, HRO actually had two booths. One small booth over by ARRL, and a large booth located in a main building. R&L also had a very good display. And then when it comes to little pieces parts, Tower Electronics had not only a display inside, but a display in the flea market as well. Debco also had a very nice display. And Ham World had a huge display of antennas. And let's not forget Quicksilver Radio, as well as Ham Source, another place for those miscellaneous pieces parts. And if you need batteries, Batteries America is a place to go. Gifts for Hams had a lot of cool plaques. And also the Sign Man, with his neat display of badges. The ARRL was there so that you could meet ARRL staff, as well as the scouts from K2BSA. And an area I was at for a while was the DXCC card checking. And of course, Gordo was there at the W5YI group. The group first was there, showing people how to do robotics and soldering, as well as making small kits. And here's one of their robots in action. And if you wanted to learn about an amateur satellite, AMSAT was there as well. Tom Medlin, W5KUB, was there with his podcast group, as well as Ted Randall and the QSL show. And we can't forget about the Ham Nation Forum. More about that on another video. And if you're having a tough time trying to figure out where to put that antenna, this lady's figured it out. Just put it right on top of your head. And that's a short overview of Hamvention 2018. From Xenia, Ohio, this is Dan, N9LVS, 73.
And thanks for that video, Dan. That was a great little synopsis of what went on there at Hamvention. But, of course, really just a very fraction of it. There was so much going on there, so many vendors that we couldn't cover them all. Yaesu also had a new radio that they were showing. It's a, I believe it's a dual receive SDR, but I did not get to see it myself and don't have any video of it. So I suspect maybe we'll see more of that in the future. And possibly someone else did get something on it. I just, you know, couldn't get to everything, so didn't get that particular one. But although Bob's not here tonight, he did send us a few photos, and I suspect he'll have more in the future. But here's the first one right there. The guy on the left there is our friend Marty, who actually, you know, we heard from a little bit earlier in the show. The guy on the right, I am not sure who that is. And the kid in the middle with the red coat, I'm not really sure who that is either. Oh, that's Bob. Okay. The next photo here is from Contest University. I don't know any of the people in that photo there. I think Gordo may be in that room somewhere, but we had a show last Wednesday night, right from that location right there. So congratulations to everyone who graduated Contest University last week. And next, well, there's Don, you know. Don, you look taller on television.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That was Bryant Rascal, by the way, with that picture with Bob and with Marty. Bryant is going to be going to WRTC in Germany coming up. That's who that was.
Wow, great. I didn't know. I'm glad you. Yeah,
that's Brian.
There he is right there. Cool. All right, and then there's a photo right there of the Heil sound booth. And obviously, this must have been before the show started because I never walked by it that there was that much room in front of it. It was usually packed for pretty much the whole show, and Bob was standing right there. Of course, in the foreground, you see the pine board right there live and in person, and I got to tell you, it looked every bit as good right there in person as it has on the show. As a matter of fact, he might have spiffed it up a little bit. It really looked nice, so glad to see it firsthand there. And I think that's it. And Bob probably has more photos that he's going to show us when he's back. Should be next week. We've got let's see, what do we have tonight? Well, I've got the Ham Nation Forum, some bits and pieces of it that we're going to look at in just a moment. But first, let's pay a few bills here and get a message from ICOM.
Spring is in the air. Check out ICOM's line of D-Star radios. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products, and you can stay connected around the world with ICOM's D-Star radios. ICOM's newest D-Star handheld is ready for the season ahead. Lightweight, compact, and tough, the new ID31A Plus is a great choice for any shack or those in harsh environments. 70 centimeters, analog and digital, terminal mode, access point mode, and its IPX waterproof rating. The ICOM ID51A Plus 2 provides extended D-Star coverage, allowing you to listen to whatever you want. Terminal and access mode, send and receive text messages and pictures, DV fast data mode, and easy FM repeater setting. The compact and user-friendly ID4100A is a D-Star mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this a preferred D-Star option for those on the go. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and there's a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. ICOM's ID5100A has taken innovation and mobility to the next level. With its touchscreen and internal GPS, this radio is a must-have while assessing a situation. 5.5-inch display responds naturally to the touch. DVDV Dual Watch receives both FM-FM and FM-DV modes simultaneously. VS-3 Bluetooth headset provides hands-free communications, and you can show your position, course, and speed with the integrated GPS receiver. Learn more about D-Star today. Visit iComAmerica.com/amateur.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to iComAmerica.com/hamnation. Register for the swag prizes, and while you're there, learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for May, it's the ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's a VHF, UHF, dual-band transceiver, built-in GPS, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an Android or iOS app available for download for free. And it has the DVFM near repeater search function. So after this episode and each episode of Ham Nation, go to iComAmerica.com/hamnation, throw your name in the hat, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And you know, we were talking about some swag prizes for Hamvention that ICOM was, they took registrations for earlier. I just happened to snag one of these while I was there. I don't know if you can really see. It doesn't show up that well in person. This is metal. This is a tag that you hang around your neck. It's got like a green there. I guess it would make a good windscreen. That would be one thing. But nice thing that ICOM was giving away there to the winners of the swag prizes. And they had a whole package there with some great swag in it, you know. So thanks, ICOM, for all you do for Ham Nation here. It helps us keep going. And speaking of Ham Nation, we've got a little bit of footage here from the Ham Nation Forward. Let's get right on into that.
If no one knows, my name is Bob Heil. I spell that with one O. This is so you get that. I have to do that because some of the crowd I run with, they don't understand. But we have everybody here today, just about. So what we're going to do, we're going to get everybody up here and say hello.
Amateur Radio Operator of the Year, Valerie, and the illustrious Professor Gordo. And we couldn't do Ham Nation without this guy, George Thomas. And we've got a bunch more, but Gordo has to get out of here early. You know, he does this on Ham Nation, too, and a lot of you might not know why he goes early. He goes out and teaches classes, and he's just an amazing guy, and he has to do that here. So we're going to let him take over and talk a little bit. Then we're going to come back and introduce the rest of the crew because he's just such a special guy.
Thank you, Dr. Bob, and good morning, all of you, for Ham Nation. On the count of three, because we're recording this, Tommy's got the magic headphones on, Heil headset, of course. Let's hear who we can hear the best for your call sign. Here we go. One, two, three.
Something ending in November.
Ending with November. Good job, Valerie. Thank you all for making this Ham Fest such a great success, for all your enthusiasm. What a great fraternity and hobby we have, and we hope to carry this further with Ham Nation because we're going to be looking for more and more of your videos, your short shots, and all the neat things that happen out there while the rest of us are ready to put you on the air. So, Bob, that's my story. I'll give it back to you, and thank you all. I've got to duck out, but I'll be back. See ya. Okay, Bob.
Thank you, Gordo. Thanks a lot. We'll continue on. There are some people that need to be introduced because these are people that are behind the scenes, and the show could not happen if it wasn't for them many times. And, Steve, why don't you see if you can jump up here? He's been just relentless with the after-show nets, which are very important. And we appreciate all that you're doing on the nets.
Thanks,
Bob. Yes, and he's my personal roadie. One of the other guys that's running around is the guy with the camera, and he's a partner in crime of George's. Here they are. We couldn't be without these guys. Tommy, you're a prince. Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know how you put up with pulling George out of the mud out the transmitter once in a while, but that goes with the job. Dan is, he's been with us since day one, and you probably don't even know who he is, but you need to know. He does the show notes. How many people read the show notes? How many people know they're there? There's so much information, and you need to go and after each show, everything is there, and it's there forever if you go look at all the replays. We really appreciate all that you do. He also does some great videos occasionally, so thanks so much for being here. It's really great. Sitting down here, Marty, stand up, buddy. He's not very tall to start with, but he's mighty. We would have never been able to put Ham Nation on the air Wednesday night if it wouldn't have been for him. I just love all these young people that are, they just know how to take things and make them happen. And he did that. So thanks, Marty, for all you do. Because he does a lot of things during the year, and we really appreciate it. So let's get on with the program in that. We want to hear from Valerie. It's a very good year for you. So tell us a little bit about how it's changed your life, but mainly what's going on in your amateur radio life.
Oh, well, it's been a whirlwind of a year. Last year was Jerry's special year. He got inducted into the CQDX Hall of Fame, and this year I guess it's my turn, winning Amateur of the Year. I'm very honored to win that award, and unfortunately I have to take a limo ride and go have some steak and lobster later tonight, but somebody's got to do it, so might as well be me. This year I'm going to focus a lot more on mentoring. Not that Marty needs it, but Marty's going to be operating from our station this August, and I'm trying to get a lot of more youth involved and bringing them out to the shack, so I'm going to be real busy with that, hopefully get a lot of that on the air. I'm going to try and work, we're working with a youth group in South Africa, so that's going to be my focus more this year, is giving back and trying to get more young people into this hobby. Because it's such a life-changing hobby. It's really changed my life. I met the love of my life through that. I got onto Ham Nation because of this hobby. I ended up being a DJ at a radio station because of this hobby. And I won Amateur of the Year. And I got to go to Puerto Rico and truly impact lives using ham radio. We made ham radio shine in that experience because we were the only island-wide communication on the entire island. We had hams in hospitals. We had hams at the dam, or a ham at the dam, and then, but we actually, not indirectly, but we directly saved lives by being there, and thank God we were there. So it was an amazing experience.
Great. Let's let George tell you a little bit about what he and Tommy do and all that good stuff. We're just so proud to have you, and I know you take time out for your Amateur Logic. How many people watch Amateur Logic? It's a great show. And it's more technical, and it really gets involved. But they have a little more fun sometimes. But that's another story. What's happening?
Amateur Logic started 13 years ago. We're in our 13th year now. So we were one of the original video podcasts in any genre. Called up my buddies, Tommy Martin, N5ZNO, sitting right out here, and Jim Burrell. N5SPE. Some of you may know my friend Jim with the torch. The first one that we shot, you can see I was outdoors talking to Jim, and the trees are blowing real bad behind us in the back. That was Hurricane Katrina right before it made landfall a couple of days before. We were already getting the winds up in Mississippi. And we shot that segment and didn't release it for about a month because, well, we were without power for a few days, even up in Jackson. We're in our 13th year now. We've got one host in Melbourne, Australia, that's been with us for a number of years. And it's stuff like you see on Smoke and Solder, except there's three of us, four of us doing it, because we've got another buddy in the country of Louisiana, right to our south there, that the cheap old man, Emil, and he brings a little Cajun seasoning to the show.
As you know, from day one, I've always tried to get all of us to build. Simple, exotic, just build. Do it. And put it on the air. That's the biggest problem I see today. People don't get it on the air, and they're all afraid. Put it up. I built a little mic preamp. Actually, this is the front end of a Fender Twin guitar amplifier. That's all there is. Just a few parts, and it's great. It works really, really good. Believe it or not, with 5 watts, you are going to be able to make some things happen. Well, let's see what we got here. I turned on the power supply, and now we have 3 bands. Oh, by the way, I put a light so that it comes on when you put it into transmit. And what I do for a dummy load is a 47 bulb. Can you all see that? That's my dummy load. Been doing it for years for my Harvey Wells or some of those. I use a 50, 60 watt light bulb. There's nothing wrong with that. And so it brings back all of the old things. But I carried it on from there. There's 40 meters. We just tune her up. And there's 5 watts on 40 meters. Select that. And now we're 160 meters, another 5 watts. The thing now is amazing. It has an antenna relay, got an SO239 in the back that goes to your receiver. I have 2 terminals that mute your receiver, and it turns on the light and puts it on the air. So it really is very simple, and I hope that you're building it. If you're not, please do. There's Virginia in the front row. She's got things going, and it's just one of those things. Anybody can do it. I've heard from a father that his 12-year-old daughter has got it going. We've got some teenagers that got theirs going. And so it's been a wonderful project for me personally to pass on some of these great things that we do. And you don't have to get real significant and wild with things today to have fun. But you know, we'll keep this out. You might want to come and check it afterwards.
And thanks for that, Bob. And, of course, that's just a little snippet of what went on there at the Ham Nation Forum at Hamvention this year. Always a great time. And, wow, what a large crowd we had for that. It was certainly a lot of fun. Last week, I asked a question that came from Clyde Hanley. You may remember Clyde, the engineer who worked at WLW during the 500 KW days and helped get Voice of America on the air and helped found the Voice of America Museum. We've got a set of basic logic questions here that Clyde had written. And I ask, if you went to bed at 8 at night, wound your clock, set the alarm to get up at 9 in the morning, how many hours of sleep would this permit you to have? Well, Brian Hemmings knew the answer to that, and there were some other people who knew the answer too, but there were a lot of folks who got this one wrong, and it's easy enough to do if you weren't paying really strict attention to it. Brian said, and by the way, that's KA3CTP. He said, if you set the alarm for 9 and go to bed at 8, you'll sleep for 1 hour because wind-up clocks can't distinguish between AM or PM. And that's correct, Brian. Your clock would be going off in 1 hour. So, yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that in a long time, but there you go. What Brian's going to win is this MFJ 2703 heavy-duty three-position coaxial switch here. They're available with Type N or PL259s. It's a very heavy switch here. I use these myself. It's good for up to 2 kilowatts. They'll cover, depending on if you get a Type N or an SO239, up to 1.5 gigs. So a great three-position RF switch there. Thanks for that, MFJ. And for next week, I've got another question here, and we're going to pick one more from this list that I got from Clyde, and then we'll probably sit this list back for a while and pull them up occasionally in the future. Divide 30 by one half and then add 10. What's the answer? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Divide 30 by one half and add 10. What you're going to win is a copy of a book here, Ham Radio is Alive and Well, from Gary Drash, K9DJT. I met him at Hamvention this year. And Gary has written a nice book here that I have not had a chance to do anything but just look at the introduction in it and, you know, kind of get an idea of where he's going. But Gary is a guy who's first got into ham radio 60 years ago, and then his life progressed. You know, he ended up getting married and raising a family and getting a job, going to college, you know, one thing or another. Kind of got out of the hobby for a while. He could see he wasn't going to have time for it, so he ended up selling his boat anchors and was out of ham radio for a lot of years. Then in 2010, he was wondering, you know, is there even a ham radio anymore? This book answers that question. And it's very timely because, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff lately where people are saying ham radio's dead, or, you know, why would you do ham radio? Well, Gary's got a lot of the answers right here. And I think he's right on track. You know, ham radio's not dead. It's still going strong. It's not out in front of the general public, but, you know, it never really was. So Gary just kind of explains that in his what all he learned when he got back into the hobby. Plus, he mentions, you know, how many folks as kids wanted to become hams and, you know, didn't have time or want to learn Morse code and just kind of never did it and until they were retired. And then they kind of got rekindled in the hobby. Great book, Ham Radio is Alive and Well. If you want to win that, then send that answer to the question to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win. Well, now I know Amanda's got some more stuff, but first, Don, what if I wanted to refinance my home? What would I need to do?
Well, you know, I was thinking just kind of about that as I'm looking through the new DX Engineering catalog. I'm actually looking in the tower section. And if you want to put up a tower, chances are very, very good you're going to have a place to put that tower. That means a yard, piece of property. If you want a yard or a piece of property, you're probably going to have a mortgage. And that's where Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans comes in. The mortgage experience was not keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. And it's very simple. Allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. They have trusted partners that allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at literally the touch of a button on your smartphone. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, your assets, your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Get yourself a place to put that new tower up. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com, rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That's the important part. rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Now let's see what's going on in the chat room. And the other member of the team who didn't make it to Hamvention, Amanda. We sort of cried on each other's literal shoulders or figurative shoulders or via Facebook, I think is what we did.
We did. Actually, I had to stay away from Facebook because it was too depressing.
It was kind of, wasn't it?
Cheesecake on a stick? What's that all about?
I got something on a stick.
That's not even right. No, it looked like it was a great time. All right. So this first of all, Gordo, we can't let you guys live down that you rescued an HT from the porta potty. So just a couple of comments here in the chat room. That HT hit the fan.
Several. Yeah. I have several in my head this right one. Now.
Yeah. Another one was, I heard it was a crappy radio.
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
Not at all.
Report.
It worked after we took the battery out and cleaned the contacts. The ICOM ID51 worked flawlessly. It smelled a little strange, but it worked.
So Katie and I agree that I don't care how clean it was. I wouldn't hit it again. I'd buy a new one. Okay. Another person said if the HT wasn't blue, it probably is now. And another one said, I don't know if I would want to use that HT after the dunk in the junk. So that being said, Gordo, is that your only radio rescue from water or have you done that before?
No, I did it once before with a very earlier ICOM. It was the dual bander that I've got back here. And I, too, dropped it in a long drop. And that one was quite magnetic, attracted. But the newer ones are so lightweight, but they're waterproof down to 3 meters. And I figured that was not 3 meters of solution down there. So we fried it back, and that kid was so happy. He went back to DX Engineering saying, look, it survived. And they wanted to give him a new one. And he goes, oh, no, this was rescued. So good story. Happy ending.
It's now the lucky radio.
Wow.
We have one cute interview that took place at Dayton. I know you guys, this has been like the all around, whatever you missed at Dayton, you're getting it now. But this was so cute. This is the interview that could have been that never took place, but actually happened. Does that make sense? Victor, if you don't mind playing that video for us, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, Dan, all you need to know is that I'm putting this microphone on you and whatever you do, don't look at the camera.
Hi, I'm Faith Hanna, AE4FH, and welcome to hamradio.world. We are here at Hamvention 2018, and right now we are here interviewing Don Wilbanks. So, Don, you're actually a lot shorter than I thought you were. Well, we've been on your show several times, so what's it like to be on our show? Wow, he's speechless.
He must not be Don Wilbanks. Oh, look at this, I'm not Wilbanks.
Thing. 73.
What's that? He wants a French fry.
Yeah, I want a French fry. That's what I need. I need a French fry.
That French was fries, that, cheese curds.
Tickled me to death. The Lee family. Just the best.
Faith, Hanna, and Hope, they're so cute, and they do so much in the ham community. I know they were out there doing the rounds, and bless that whole family. They work so hard to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I've lost it right now, but they're out there telling everyone that they need to be in ham radio. So, all right, I have some of your guys' photos to show. Thank you for submitting them via Facebook today. And I did have kind of a cutoff line, so if I missed you in the last hour or two, I'm really sorry, but we're just going to cruise through these. I said, give us your best photo. What did you think was awesome from the Vention? And look at all of those. Of course, Sandy and Val there, Bob. And I don't know all these people's names. I really apologize. I didn't memorize them all before, but look at all of this stuff out there.
There's Joe,
of course, and Andrea again. And now look at this photo. You can pause on this one for a little bit. This is a bevy of beauties right here. We've
Smart
got
beauties.
Jerry, Val, Katie, and Amy. What a great group. These four could rule the world. I'm telling you right now. That's all I'm saying. I would ask to be their secretary. That's where I'm at with it. And again, Ray, tower climbing lady, It looked like it was such a, oh, this guy, this is sad. This guy never made it to Hamvention because his car broke down on the way there. So I'm really sorry he didn't make it. That's where I was at this week. I had to replace a fuel pump in my truck. And this one Katie submitted, she said, this was the cutest photo ever. It looks like a heavy load that guy's got to carry around everywhere. But I think everyone had a great time. So thank you, viewers, for submitting these photos. We all appreciate them very much. And if you ever have any photos that you want to be shown on the show, send them to us. We'd love to show them to you, to our viewers, excuse me. All right. I had one question, and I know we're kind of limited on time here. So, George, I'm going to send this one to you. He says, if he's leaving on a charter bus trip in a couple of weeks and trying to come up with a suction cup mount for an antenna to use with his SDR dongle and tablet on the trip. Any ideas to offer? And he also included, this is for receive only. Suction cup mounted.
Right off the top of my head, I don't know of a suction cup mount antenna that would be suitable for that. I know Randy had sent him a link to something he found on the internet. I would think maybe even a small magnetic mount antenna. You might find some metal in there that you could stick that with. But this sounds like a Gordo question. And, of course, it's also going to depend on what bands, he'd like to receive there. But, Gordo, any suggestions?
No, I agree with you, George. A magnetic antenna, I would be sure and not get one that is what we call shunt fed, that is DC to ground, but rather any one of the Comet or Diamond tall antennas, and they'll get great reception even down on HF, even though the antenna may be designed for 2 and 440. And that was a photo, Amanda, that you showed. We also got Martin Chu of MFJ in there, and that was very terrific. Martin, what a strong supporter of ham radio. And they, too, have telescopic whips that would just work great for maritime or mobile SDR transceivers, or, in this case, a receiver.
Well, there you go. Marty, I hope that answered your question. I think he said that he was mostly looking for aviation frequencies on that, but good luck. I hope you have fun doing it. All right. With that, let's go over the nets. And we're a bit past time here. We have 7192 for the 40-meter net, 14 Charlie for D-Star, and TAC 311 for DMR, and EchoLink is on the Dewdrop Inn. And we have not seen from Steve, W7UDI, but congratulations, Steve. We heard you're a new grandpa. So all the best to you. And we can't wait to see baby pictures. We're going to show one on here. And we understand why you can't make the net tonight. So with that, I hand it over to you, George.
Okay, Amanda. Well, thanks for that. Great wrap-up to the show tonight. Before we go here, I know everyone had a big time at Dayton this year, and maybe a few of you watching tonight who couldn't make it had a big time right here with us reviewing it. Gordo, any final words?
Probably from the button right here that just says that ham radio is alive and very well. 73 all. I won't be here next week. I'll be doing Coast Guard auxiliary duty, but I'll see you in 2 weeks. George, back to you.
Okay. Thanks, Gordo. Don?
Three things. There was a shirt that I saw running around Hamvention. I didn't see any of the pictures tonight, but it said it was a takeoff on the Xena Warrior Princess TV show from years ago. It said Xenia Warrior Hamfest, and I thought was kind of cute. The picture with Martin Jew, that is Paul Brown, WD9GCO from the Amateur Radio Newsline crew. You hear him almost every week on Amateur Radio Newsline. They were talking with Ted Randall on the QSO radio show. Paul just had a great time. He's a great asset to the Newsline team. And tomorrow is Tyler, N7TMW, my son's graduation ceremony, the baccalaureate. So he got his gold cord the other night during the awards ceremony as an honor student. He maintained a 90 to 95 average through 4 years of high school, something I didn't do. And he also got a small scholarship from a community college, Pearl River Pearl River Community College here as well, so that's going to help out. So to my son, Tyler, N7TMW, I could not be more proud of you. You may remember, if you were at Dayton last year, Tyler was in the pig costume running around as Hammy for Neo Raps podcast. But anyway, so Tyler graduates high school tomorrow, and I could not be more proud. So N7TMW is going places. George, back to you.
Yeah, congratulations, Tyler. I worked in radio, too, so I did not have a 90 or 95 average.
Well. I'm still trying to figure out how to get a real job.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. Good to see you all again. Bob should be back with us next week. Until then, have a great week and weekend. Good Memorial Day and good DX73.
Congratulations, Tyler.